Coming up on the pod, we join the Warrington celebratory team on the buses. Ralph takes aim to see what he could have won. We review the Salford match and turn to their inspirational artist to give LS Price a go on the oils. And as always, there's tackle bags and a lack of statistics from Sam. It's all coming up on What Would Brian Bevan Say?
How are you going to go to the toilet then? Have you got to get nurse to help you?
I did actually think yesterday, when I was in sheer agony and I went for my shit, I thought, I'm going to shit in the shower this morning. I'm just going to stand up and shit.
Rob Blunden is recording this. I think, is there any way we can hack into it and just put that out, the sound back?
Oh dear, shitting in the shower.
Right. Hello, I'm Rob Blunden, Prime Minister of What Would Brian Bevan Say? And if you want to know how to run a podcast dictatorship, look no further than me. But where are my two cross-party rebels about to put a stop to all my shenanigans? So, casting my eyes to south of the river, a parliamentarian known for his level-headedness in the heat of debate, his statistical figures that would hold up accountable, written on the side of any Warrington bus, and with just 1 week of transgender hormone therapy, could pass as a dead ringer for Anne Widdecombe. It's Baroness Sankey.
Order, order, order. Actually, I don't dance anywhere near as well as Anne Widdecombe, but there you go.
Did you do any dancing at Wembley, Sam, when you were down there?
Little jig of delight, yes. I think that's where we'd leave it at that.
Well, talking of jigs of delight, but not to be outdone, a political giant embracing a set of opinions that can only be described as a foot cluster cocktail of Oliver Cromwell, Screaming Lord Sutch, Morrissey during one of his days, and Marie Antoinette, all based on where he lives now, though I'd expect he'd probably feed the peasants vegan sourdough loaf. Yes, with his shiny black rod knocking at the door, or possibly that's just the evening lighting. It's Lloyd Waywell.
Lloyd Waywell.
Don't make me laugh. Who's that?
Shit. You're not going about your back again.
No, I'm a professional. I'm like Des Lynam. I'm just going to carry on.
Good. I think Challenge Cup weekend. It's always a good weekend, isn't it? For getting into the spirit of rugby league, meeting up with friends and things. And it was also very good to meet up with Sam there outside the ground. Really nice. Having a little drink as well, a little picnic. Yes, very good. I have to say, your whole family looked quite at home drinking wine on a bench in the middle of the street there. Like that.
They come from Orford.
Did you go to see the celebration, Sam? Did you take in the town hall gates and everything else?
No, I went off on a run, actually. I've got my big half marathon coming up. I can't be going celebrating. That way leads to defeats just two or three days later. Professional me.
It's true. Well, Warrington did bring home the cup on an open-top bus and paraded it in front of huge crowds outside the town hall gates. I wonder what it's like to be on the buses.
Oh, it's a great life on the buses. There's nothing like it, you'll agree.
I'll make my way down the bus, a bit wobbly, a crowd really going off outside. I'll go to the bloke who's not in the T-shirt, first of all, and that's Carl Fitzpatrick. Carl, must be a great afternoon for you, one to take off.
And he's not a social, our social
no,
media...
No, probably not the day to talk about that, is it?
It's our role marketing, branding, image, all right. Strategy.
But you're on the bus, Carl, today, so, I mean, you know, just let it go for one day, let it slide, mate, and, you know, what did it mean to you, this Warrington win? Was it good?
How are we going to be perceived? How are we going to predict?
I don't care how you wanted to perceive, mate. Yeah, all right, mate. Mate, just leave it all behind. Leave the bubble behind. What was it meant to you?
Bubble. Into the general sports bubble, right. And further afield into mainstream.
Right, and what kind of bubble would that be, Carl?
The orchestra bubble.
I thought so, the orchestra bubble. Right, I'm going to carry on down the bus now, and thanks, Carl, and see who else I can find.
Oh, it's a great life on the buses.
Oh, Charlie seems to be on the megaphone down the front. Let's see if I can get a quick word with him. Josh, your thoughts on the game? You played very well.
Yeah, Lachlan King.
Yeah, I don't really care about... Yeah, whatever, Josh. Yeah, you're acting like a bit of a knob, mate. Yeah. Someone take this off him. What a prick. Yeah, all right, Josh. Yeah. Christ almighty, take it off him, for God's sake. So why not take a look around you? No need to leave your... Right, I'll make my way down towards the middle of the bus now, and I can see Jack Hughes's bollock hanging out there. I'll have a quick word with his bollock. A huge day for you. Everyone thought you were bollocks, but you turned up on the day and you put in an absolutely bollocking performance.
I really enjoyed my number 6. It was fantastic. It was all I ever wanted to do.
And do you think you'll carry on playing in the halves now that you've found a good position there, a real winning combination?
I hope so. I found my position. I mean, I've always said bollocks should play in the halves, and certainly had one there before.
But it looks like we've found our new halfback there. I'll have a quick word with the captain now. Chris, a great afternoon for you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Hey, you don't want to rent a house in Goldburn, do you?
No, I don't, Steve. I just want to enjoy the performance.
No, the plumbing's fine now. It's all sorted out.
I'm sure
out.
The plumbing's fine, mate, but it's all about the Warrington Cup.
I'll get you the keys if you want.
All right,
because
we're going to have a look in a bit. We should probably also speak to Chris's partner in crime, and that's Mike Cooper. Mike, you've had a good afternoon today.
Well, you might have had a good afternoon, but I've not. Did you see him kissing?
Well, I think it was just a celebration,
yes,
Chris.
Right on the lips. Yeah, I saw it at full time
there.
I'm supposed to be
cup.
Going out with Christopher, all not right. bloody Steve Price,
right,
you know. It's
all
ridiculous.
All right, Mike, leave it alone. Oh dear. Right, well, let's have a word with the man who's banging the drum there, and that's young Dick Patton. Deck, just put him down for a sec, mate. You play quite well today, apart from the kick out on the full. I mean, you were... Yeah, Deck, yeah. Mate, just have a quick word. Yeah, Declan. Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Right, let's carry on down the bus and see who else we can find. Oh, finally, someone who talks a bit of sense, and that's Steve Price. Steve, 3 finals out of 3 now, but this is your first win. Must mean a lot to you, does it? Absolute wonderful victory there at Wembley.
In spades, mate. In spades, yeah.
In spades.
The DNA was roared on.
Yeah, you did.
And the players group, mate. It was really good today. And I just want to say, I love your dad.
Oh, you love me. Oh, you love your dad.
You're really resilient to me, Dad. And
yes,
your DNA and the players group all mean a world to me. Absolutely love you, mate.
Yeah, okay.
Love you, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for that, Steve. That's really good. Okay, well, I'm going to make my way off the bus now, but I think we can all agree it's been a wonderful day on the buses. And you can get it on the buses, upstairs or down inside.
Oh, it's a great life on the buses. Well, if you can't remember the On the Buses theme tune, you know it now.
Do you think we need to come a little bit more modern in the coming weeks? Do you think we're just now? I mean, we've now moved back into the 1960s. I mean, how far back could we go?
Another couple of thousand people we've just lost there on that little soundbite.
So you think the idea of my Vera Lynn next week soundbite, that's taking it a step too far? I know a fact about the Tannoy Gates. Would you like to know that they were actually commissioned for Queen Victoria in 1893, but she turned them down, obviously a rugby union fan, and then they were given to Warrington. So there you go. The gates used to go all the way round the park, but they were cast iron and they melted it all down during the war. Only the gates were left.
Ah, that's nice. What melted it down for?
Well, to make bullets and, you know, shoot the Germans.
And we'll be back to the hello sketch before you know where you are.
I'm not sure if they had any left for the Japanese.
Oh, God.
Right.
I'll be back hurts.
Okay, the Salford review. I'll run through the team first. Warrington were a bit of a higgledy-piggledy team there last night. It was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, Burrell, Mamo. Hughes carried on at 6. Smith came into the side. And then we had in our front row Philbin with young Walker at hooker. Tarzi making up the front row. Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Levette and Jason Clark carried on at 13. Interchange bench was Akawala. Benny Westwood came back in. Lewis Johnson came in. and we put Daryl Clark on the bench. Before we discuss this, someone else who attended the game was Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire. Let's see what Daniel has to say.
Hello, it's Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire. I've just returned home from the AJ Bell Stadium after Warrington's 22-6 defeat to Salford. The third time we've lost to Salford this season, which is disappointing, really. Straight after winning the Challenge Cup against St Helens, I think the first thing to say, obviously, is that we've been completely shafted in terms of the scheduling of this game, moving from the Sunday to the Thursday. Having such little time to prepare for it clearly had a big impact on the team. We tired so much towards the back end of the game, conceded three of the four tries in the last half an hour, which I think was pivotal, really. I think fatigue told late on. Certain players had really poor nights to forget. Tom Lynham, usually quite a reliable player, but had a stinking game tonight in defence. I felt for him. You could see he was knackered towards the end of it. He put in a massive shift at Wembley, a very selfless defensive performance, carrying the ball out from his own line, but wasn't up to scratch tonight. I thought Murdoch Masilla had a poor game, gave away a few penalties. Disappointing from him, in my opinion. Wasn't impressed with Harvey Levert, to be honest. If I'm being brutally honest, I'm really not impressed with Luther Burrell so far. We've seen him a few times, and I've not seen a lot that is getting me excited, that is making me think, yeah, this is the fellow that's going to be our top-class centre next year. I could be wrong, and maybe with a pre-season in the bag, it'll be a different player, but he's not really getting involved in the game too much. I also want to talk about the halfback situation. We've obviously brought in Matty Smith, and after doing the unthinkable on Saturday and beating St Helens in the most remarkable circumstances, we've gone and done the unthinkable again, and in buying Matty Smith, we've actually downgraded on Dec Patton. Smith has been awful so far. He's been absolutely awful, and tonight was a real nadir for him in terms of his performances, I feel, and I can't believe that. I'm already looking forward to Patton being back in the team ahead of Smith, which sounds unbelievable after everything that's been said this year, but not too much to worry about tonight, because Salford are a good side, and it was kind of expected that we'd lose given the short turnaround, but we do need to win against Wakefield next week. We need to get back on horse, we need to get back to winning ways as we look to cement a playoff place, which will hopefully be a place in the top two or three, but it's not looking too likely now. It's probably going to be fourth or fifth for us, but hopefully we can still make the playoffs and give it a good shot at Old Trafford, but we're going to need to see better than we did tonight, definitely.
Well, he makes some good points, Sam. Yet again, he's bang on the money. I guess it's a little bit hard to talk about the players that played at Wembley because they were all knackered. So let's just focus possibly tonight on the players that didn't. We'll start with this Luther Burrell. I'm not seeing it, mate, at all. I am not seeing what they've spent this money on for this guy.
No, we were talking at the match last night. I went as well. I accept at the minute if he's slightly out of position in defence and things like that, but I did really expect him to bring us a bit more going forward, even if it was just direct hard running. But no, it's too early to say. If he's like this, as Daniel said, if he's like this next year, then big pressure on him. But just at the minute, no, he's not showing much, is he? Nine carries for 50 metres last night. One error and two penalties against him.
He looks clumsy. I mean, you have to go back sort of to the days when we've had other union converts come over. I can remember Alan Bateman coming over. Mm. And, you know, he was a bit, you know, fresh at first, but there were certainly signs, even in Alan Bateman's first few games, that he had class. The same with Kevin Ellis. Kevin Ellis was lively at the time. Roland Phillips, who was a forward, took a little bit more time to get, you know, going the way he needed to. And I even went to the first game Jonathan Davis ever played for Widnes, which was a reserve game. And even that night, he sidestepped a few people and showed his class. But this guy looks like a bit of a buffoon, Dennis. I mean, he tripped over the ball at one point. Mm. I can't believe he's not been pulled up for playing the ball. Every time he plays the ball, he's still on his knees. He's getting up, which is down to the coaching. It's not down to Burrell. But what really worried me was on Salford's third try, when they broke away down their left flank, he had no pace at all. He was absolutely shot. I mean, he's not fit, but he runs back at the same speed as Tarzi and then sort of drops his head in shame. If you watch that clip back, he gets nowhere near them. He's a big lumbering lad who looks clumsy. I mean, are you seeing anything different, mate?
I think, it's exactly that, isn't it? I mean, you would hope that, yeah, he's not going to be right for this season. We're not going to see too much, I don't expect, because he's obviously only just arrived. But like you say, you want to see flashes of something that you can think, yeah, I can see what we've got here. It just, to me, it just seems like there was an opportunity to sign this guy. It, you know, he could have gone somewhere else. Oh, you know, let's go and splash the cash a bit, get him. And not really any sort of forward thinking of where he's going to end up. And, you know, we've not seen anything special, really.
So, Sam, would you have signed him based on what you've seen?
Purely based on what I've seen, no. But I did watch him occasionally playing rugby union. And, yeah, he has been a very good player there, but his age is against him, isn't it? As I say, let's wait till February. Let's see how he starts next year. But no, he's not got anyone excited yet.
Well, I'm going to stick my neck out on this one and say he's a flop. I think we're going to get nothing from Luke.
Oh, early.
I've seen enough of him. I don't think he's going to make the grade. He's too old.
You don't think he's going to roll out the burrell at any point then?
Oh, I'll write that down, Denny Savage. Right. Who else played last night? Well, we'll move on to someone who I thought played very well last night, and that was Benny Westwood, who I thought...
I'm just going to stop the podcast a sec. And I think we should just give a warning out that Sam's either crying or he's got a very bad cold. So there's going to be a lot of sniffles around. are you not crying, are you, Sam?
I'm not crying, no. I'm not that upset at my visit to Salford.
Oh, dear.
But, okay. Yeah, bit of a summer cold.
Dear. Well, Westwood, he did play well, didn't he? We thought he sort of, you know, moved on to the ball. You're right there, Dennis.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Oh, he's still awake. Yeah.
I'm in a relaxed position here.
Can see. Yeah.
Absolutely fine. Going on to Westwood, yeah, he was the one that out of all the players that didn't play at Wembley, he was the one, I think, who did actually step up and, you know, show... actually a bit of effort out of all those characters, I'd say. What do you reckon, Sam?
I think you've been a bit harsh saying he was the only one, but yes, he did. He was our biggest meter maker, 104 meters.
Wow.
And 32 tackles. He rolled back the clock a couple of times in terms of aggression, getting in the faces of a couple of Salford players, and for me, he outshone Tarzi comfortably.
Is Tarzi now? Did I read something that he's not with us next year, Sam? Has he now been let go, or is that still pending? Is it because he seems to be playing a little bit better than he has been? The game, against St. Helens,
it was St. Helens, you're right. Yes, he played like we'd not seen him play before, didn't he?
Yeah,
he had some aggression in his game.
And he had a bit of an aggression last night as well. Westwood doesn't sort of run forward anymore, does he? But he wriggles and he sort of reverses backwards and makes another couple of metres every time
Two or three people are hanging off him. He's still taking three or four steps forward.
Well, talking of your cold, someone who can't catch a cold, and that's Mamo, yet again, goes up for that high ball. It hits his knee. I mean, you really want to just keep kicking the ball to Mamo, don't you, if you're the opposition?
Yeah, at least once a match, he's coming up with one error like that, isn't he?
Yeah. I was surprised that possibly they've not tried Mamo at six. I'm not quite sure how you'd fit him into that six, but, you know, they've had Hughes there a few times. I think Mamo could make a six. He's bright enough to, and he moves around. He's quite, you know, elusive, but I'm not quite sure where they're going to play him, are they?
Purely as a running, purely for his running, yes, but I've not seen any ball handling off him. So, mind you, Jack Hughes is hardly...
he's not got much to live up to.
He's hardly Andy Johnson, is he?
Well, then we need to come on to the man who we have brought in at Warrington, our new star signing at number 7, and that is Matty Smith. Oh, yes. What a player. What a player he's turning out to be. I mean, he is everywhere. The way he takes on the line, the way he draws a player, the way he weaves in and out, those little grubber kicks he puts through, the long kicks, the 40-20s, the tackling, the pace off the mark, the constant telling everyone in the team where to stand, how to organise. It's exceptional, Sam, isn't it? It's never-ending with him.
He fell over the ball, didn't he, as well?
It was so crying out for a man with experience who's won a man of the match in the grand final to take that game by the scruff of its neck last night, and I'm still waiting for him to do it. It was abysmal, wasn't it, considering his experience?
What's the point, Dennis? What is the point?
I don't think there is a point. Again, it's another one of those decisions, isn't it? Why have we actually invested in someone like that? I think we should... We said it, we've called this a few weeks ago, so I don't know. It's pointless going over old ground. We've got a few youngsters there. Yeah, as Sam said, you want experience, but, you know, he's not offering that. You might as well just chuck a youngster in and give him a bit of a run out and a bit of experience.
Well, they go on about, you know, this was obviously a perfect opportunity again, wasn't it? Based on the fact that we're maybe not going to win, to play Riley Dean, give him another run out in the first team. Do you think Smith's ego is strong enough to basically say, OK, I've made a mistake here, I need to try something else? Or do you think they'll just continue playing him?
Influence would say that they would continue playing him, because if it's consistency, isn't it? If you've actually signed up to something and made that commitment, then you'll then be influenced to just persevere with it.
Mm. Well, it's not working, though, is it?
I'd go the other way. I'd go the other way and say, if Austin is fit next week, I'm expecting him to play Deck Patton and Blake Austin together, with Smith just there as a backup in case.
Yeah, okay. Young Walker, no doubt about it. He's got a lovely try, very tenacious in the way he runs around and scoots in and out, but lacking a bit of weight, Sam, by the looks of it. Gets swatted off like a fly a little bit, doesn't he? It seems to be palmed off too many times in a game of rugby league.
But I think the key, for me, the key thing you said there was young Walker. He does look a little bit too small at the minute, but he's no smaller than Dwyer or Morgan Smith or even Rob Burrow when he first moved to hooker. He's no smaller. So he's got youth on his side. He does show something, though, doesn't he? He shows a bit of pace, a bit of a step.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of ability. It's whether as he goes through the next year or two, he puts on that little bit of extra weight or experience to make a few of these first up tackles.
He needs 8 weeks of Bix like me. See, that's what he needs every day. Eight weeks of Bix. Yes. Don't forget the wheat Bix. I reckon I could do 4 weeks of Bix, which all is right. equivalent to 8. Have I explained that before now?
Yes, you have, Dennis. Yeah. Yep. It's all good. Right, come on, Dennis. Tell us about Levette. Come on, the mystery of Levette. He's the only other one I've written down here.
Well, it is a mystery.
That position. I mean, that position of, you know, Curry hasn't been on top form this year, and you think maybe Levette will take his opportunity and sort of nail down that spot. But again, last night, he's...
One of these players, I think, that where they, you know, he's shown flashes in the past of actually going on to better things and so on. But he's just not sort of moved on from that. And then he sort of just goes missing and makes a few mistakes. There's just nothing, you know. I still maintain that he's really hard to tackle. He's like really, he's like strong, but I don't know. I've got really nothing to say about the lad, really.
Kind of sums Levette up, doesn't it? So he's just not quite got something to sum up about him.
Almost. He looks almost a player, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to the predictions then. I went 18-24 to Warrington. Sam went 28-18 to Salford. And Dennis went 16-18 to Warrington. So Dennis, Sam just about wins. I think he actually gets a point. He's just within the perimeters. So he's actually now only 13 points behind me, and Dennis still lacking behind.
I thought 48. I got massive points last week for the challenge.
Well, you got massive points last week, had it been true. But the fact you came out with a load of coffee plunger bullshit You're still 48 points off the year.
God, I tell you what, you can tell you've got... You can tell you've been off with your back, can't you? You listened to every second of that podcast last week and the week before.
Oh, dear. I don't know. You went to the game, Sam. A lovely area. I understand it's up for an award for its...
I can see Chris Packham turning up there anytime soon.
God, you sent me those pictures. It looked like the apocalypse. It really did, Sam. My goodness. And their crowds have dropped off, have they, even more than they were a few years ago?
Yeah, they have. Although last night's was about 4,000. So for a Thursday TV game, it was very good. We did take a few, but God, it's depressing. It's a depressing place to go.
Does soulless. Does Sale get any crowds there anymore? Does Sale manage to, you know, get a crowd?
Yeah, when they first went, they were getting 8,000, 9,000. I don't know what they got in the season just gone. No idea what they got. The season just gone. I'll look it up.
Let's talk about this game in as a whole. The thing about it is that I think we've said it on the last two podcasts now, and there's a lot of people obviously saying it. And I think actually on reflection, Steve Price has said it and various other people. There's no way that game should have been on a Thursday night. It proves nothing. There's no spectacle in that at all. It was quite clearly that, you know, we were very fatigued and so on. I don't understand the reasons for it. And, you know, it's still bugging me and a lot of other people why this isn't changing. Why is there not even an agreement before the season starts that teams who appear in that final then can't have then get a full week to rest after it?
Yes,
simple rule.
Well, because Sky don't care. I heard actually just this morning they were going on about the football as well. They've just done it in the football. Not quite sure what it was, but again, you know, what Sky says goes. They've got all the money. They decide what it is.
I mean, Daniel said it as well. We were shafted. They're playing on the Thursday.
Sound the alarm, Dennis. Sound the alarm.
I haven't got it. Keep going.
We could have won on Saturday and just come home on Sunday, gone into rehab, had a good training session Monday and Tuesday, but that's never going to happen, is it? Whoever wins is going to go out on the piss for 48 hours. And we were shafted. And they've missed a chance, really, there.
Thanks,
shafted
Dennis.
Again. Yeah, oh, they've missed a chance there. They could easily have put Lee versus York on. Now, that's third versus fourth in the championship.
I'm staying in for that one.
I bet it's going to be a better match than the one we watched on Thursday or tonight with St Helens.
Yeah, exactly. That was shit as well. So basically, they've changed two matches to watch two shit matches. That's not really a promotion of rugby league, is it?
I guess. I guess not. Well, I'll tell you what, certainly there was a touch of artistry amongst the Salford halfbacks. And of course, the most famous artist from Salford was L.S. Lowry. But one wonders how creative L.S. Price would be with an easel palette and a brush to hand.
He painted Salford's dodgy props with high tackles and their late flops and parts of Super League where I used to play. I'm sure he once walked down Fletcher Street cos he painted kids with Aspos on their feet and clothes from JB Sports had all seen better days. Now they said his tactics of RL were dull, no room all around, the resilience was full, but Price didn't care much anyway. They said he just paints tats and cocks and match fit men in boots and thongs, and Price said that's just the way it'll stay. And he painted match fit men and match pork tats and cocks.
Right, stop that. Silly. I noticed a tendency for this program to get rather silly. Now I do my best to keep things moving along, but I'm not having things getting silly.
Yes, I noticed that these soundbites have been cut short now, Mr. London. Is that due to your
God
condition or the complaints that I was reading out?
Too silly. Let's move on. Right, with Rimmer throwing ideas at Dragon's Den and The Apprentice over recent weeks, where will he take his aim today? Will it be a case of Super League smashing great? Well, to hold his hand, Dennis accompanied the head of the RL up to the Oki. Let's see what Ralph and Dennis could have won.
And welcome to Watching Bullseye on this Sunday. Now,
is it Sunday?
Dennis?
Yeah, sorry, Jim. He's a bit confused with all the prizes we've won.
I've got to tell you, it's the first time it's happened. All the time we've been doing Bullseye, every prize on Bully's prize board's gone.
Some lovely prizes.
Now, come on, Ralph, don't fuck this up. I've won all these prizes for you. I've got enough money now to fund next year's social media campaign.
The books and Bully's special prize, the motor scooter. Superb. Now then, boys, it is decision time now. It really
is.
Jim.
This is probably one of
the most important
decisions you've made in your lives. You've got £890, but your prizes are what you've got to consider.
Oh, yes.
Are you prepared to gamble those prizes, every prize on that board, against tonight's star prize, which is hiding behind Bully? It's prizes and, or just prizes and run.
Oh.
Your money's safe anyway.
That's a bit confusing, Dennis. Not surprising for you, Ralph. Because I think he means we can keep the prizes.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, look, the board's rotating. Oh, I preferred the other board. This one's got lots of numbers on. It's very confusing. It won't matter. We're not gambling.
Very mature, intelligent lads. Tell me.
We're going to gamble, Jim.
Oh, you fuckwit.
101 and more. Non-dart player first.
I'm very excited. Oh,
dear. Just take your time now, please. It's 101 and more for tonight's star prize, and the best of luck.
Come on now.
Okay, Dennis.
Come on, Dennis. Quick as you can.
No rush.
Oh, no rush.
Idiot.
Good luck.
Best of luck.
Yes.
12.
Yes.
Ball. And 7. Oh. Good start. 69.
Do you know how to throw a dart, Ralph?
Not really, Dennis. Just throw it at the board and hope for the best.
Best of order, game on.
The gamble for tonight's star prize. 101 or more.
Is it this ball?
Yes.
That's out the ball, a little bit of nerves.
Put her fingers.
1.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's 2.
Oh, dear.
Can't be done. So sad.
Have we not won? I've got 2 of them in the board.
No, you've lost everything.
I'm sorry,
come on, it's a speedboat with the skis,
oh,
and it's got their life jackets.
It's the RFL speedboat.
But never mind, your choice, we're disappointed for you, but never mind, all is not lost.
It is now.
Jim, have you seen Madame Bird's balls?
Now, I've never seen Bullseye. I've never seen Bullseye, Dennis, because coming from south of the river, we couldn't actually pick up ITV. Our TV was tuned in only to BBC Two and occasionally BBC One on a Friday and Saturday night. So you'll have to talk us through it. You threw your arrows pretty well, but Ralph let you down, it's clear to see.
That's exactly it, yes, isn't it? When it comes down to the crunch and you want somebody to sort of turn round and take control, they basically fucked it up. I think that's a reflection of what we've got, don't you think?
Any sign of Madame Boyd? I mean, she's been absent now for about 3 or 4 weeks. Any sign of Madame Boyd?
What do you do without any balls? Answer that. Eh? What does that make you?
I don't know.
Madame Eunuch.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
Right.
No, let's move attached.
Let's move on to the poll, readers' wives, and what would Brian Bevans swap? The poll this week was, what was your preferred halfback pairing be for Warrington on the road to Old Trafford? We had quite a low vote on this one, just over 100 votes, which I think kind of sums up our week. The options were, we put Austin in everyone, so it was Pat and Austin, Hughes Austin, Ratchford Austin, or Smith and Austin. The winner, surprisingly, and whether this would have changed, because we did put the vote out prior to the Salford game, the winner is Smith and Austin with 39%, Sam, just ahead of Patton and Austin on 35, Hughes Austin on 11, and Ratchford and Austin on 15. With what we've seen, though, and I think clearly after last night, Sam, it's got to be Smith and Austin again. It's got to be Patton and Austin again, hasn't it?
You would think so. I mean, prior to last night, you're looking at Patton, you're looking at Smith, and you're thinking the two similar players, with Smith having been there and done it, so probably would get the nod But having looked at last night, I think if you put the same poll out again, you'd get a big swing towards Patton.
It's bizarre, isn't it, to think that we're choosing between Smith and Patton.
Kevin Brown must have done something wrong, mustn't he?
He's going all quiet there.
Kevin Brown in a moon boot would probably do better than them two.
Yeah. I mean, you're presuming Austin's going to be back, obviously, for the Old Trafford. And, you know, if you think about it, how desperate it looks by putting that poll out is that where is a try going to come from without having someone like Austin there?
Yeah.
Jeez, bad, isn't it? Well, talking of Blake Austin, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's hand-delivering his T-shirts all across Warrington. He's got these T-shirts on the go, and he's hand-delivering them. So to not to be outdone, what would Brian Bevan say, shirt sales in the Northwest will now be hand-delivered. After last week, a certain someone said he loves to meet the public. So get your orders in, and in person, Sam will deliver them to you. So thanks for agreeing to that, Sam. So that's excellent. So keep those orders coming in. Right, we'll move on to what with Brian Bevan swap. We've had a tweet in from Constant Shaft. He said he'd like to swap the Challenge Cup for a Super League Grand Final win. Which I think is very apt, isn't it?
I think that's
absolutely bang on the money. We've had an email in from Christopher Tees. He said, it's not so much a swap, but he's willing to loan out his bone-idle grandson, who does nothing but spend his day looking at his phone or playing Fortnite. Mr. Tees says, at my grandson's age, I was doing 2 years of national service protecting the Suez Canal or putting back together transistor radios at the Colchester Barracks. So if anyone's got any work for Christopher Tees' grandson, let us know. And last one, finally, from Abitha487, he Snapchatted with, where's Callum? Question mark. So,
what's
going on there? Okay, it seems Dennis polished his abacus in last week's tackle bags to calculate the productivity of the in-goal referee, but the suggestion of an in-goal drone proved to be the financial winner. Is there no end to Dennis putting Super League on the correct flight path? Let's see if there's any other ideas hovering up there in his mind today. You're clear for takeoff, Dennis. It's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Hey, here we are. Challenge Cup. That's it. You relax. Sit back now, Mr. London. Don't laugh. Keep your back going.
And, ask him a question now while he's got a mouthful of toast.
Yeah. So, Rob, which disc is it?
Oh, L4 to L5. If there are any back specialists out there listening, please write in. I'm in L4 agony.
Sounds like a game of chess, L4 to L5. Anyway, referees, this is what we did last week. It was Challenge Cup week. The controversy as well of the decision not to go to the video ref. Well, we looked at the game officials and referees, looking at improving the decision-making and the assistance of drones in the goal area. To pay for this, we identified that the in-goal judges, with an average wage bill of around 30k, were likely to be employed about 1% of the time, so we should bin them and then use that capital expenditure for 6 drones with HD TV technology to monitor the match and also the in-goal areas. So, as usual, a topical subject created a bit of a stir and quite a few listeners got involved. Some of the vote, 81% agreed. Professor Waffle, he said yes, and perhaps the drone can also find the Higgs boson particle, you've mentioned that before, the Thaler effect, and possibly Kendall quarks. We do have a very discerned listener, don't we, in that one. The naysayers, 18% not in favour. Les the bookkeeper, I don't like it. I prefer your techno ball idea. Anyway, that wouldn't the shine off Chris Hill's head cause filter problems in the sunlight? Sounds like a man from speaking from experience there with a bald head. 1% invalid data entry. Any chance you can stop Rod London droning on about his slip disc? Tosser. Oh dear. Well, not only is he laughing, he's about to choke on his avocado and thingy. Have you not had a sourdough and poached egg and side of bacon, as you call it?
I can't get down to the cafe. I can't make it that far.
I can't get down. I can't.
Pull yourself together, man.
Yeah. The reason is that, you know, we all feel a bit depressed about the match. But, Rob, we all feel a bit sorry for Rob. I mean, looking at him now, he looks very much like how he'll look in about 20 years. Bedridden.
What do you mean? This is how I look now. Up. Never mind. 20 years. This is it.
This is I'm expecting to see him priest any minute, give him the last rites.
I know. It's a shame.
I am trying to get I'm trying to get my partner to dress up as Jenny Agutter, like in American Werewolf in London.
You put me in an awkward position, Mr. Kessler.
How do I do that?
Well, you're to take these after you've eaten. Now, what sort of nurse would I be if I failed in so simple a task as handing out some pills?
You can leave the pills. I'll take them later.
Sorry.
Oh, come on, Nurse Price.
You can call me Alex.
Come on, Alex.
Shall I be forced to feed you, Mr. Kessler?
Not too far.
Oh, dear.
It's the drug.
Yeah, forgot you're on drugs as well. You need a good Timothy Taylor's. Anyway, this week on Tackle Bags, we're looking at player protection.
Are we still doing this?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
Yes. You two have got nothing else to say. God, this has
podcast,
been the most...
You know what this podcast has been like? It's like we gave everything last week in the Challenge Cup one, and we've got nothing left, have we?
We've run out of steam at 50 minutes.
So, come on, let me drag this out. This week, we're looking at player protection. The atrocious decision this week to have the Challenge Cup finalists both play on a shorter turnaround after such an absorbing final last week. It seems that protecting the players is a secondary concern to the demands of TV and players' welfare has been neglected. I mean, look at Jack Hughes, for instance, with his testicle injury. He's only had a few days to remove those stains from his cricketer's box ready for the Salford game. So, you know, it's not fair. We shouldn't be having such a short turnaround. Anyway, I've been searching the internet and looking for ideas on player protection. Obviously, we all remember the Tantra weekend in Glastonbury. That happened to clash with the cup final, but would have been quite apt if it was after the cup final because the, you know, all the players could have gone on the retreat and had a good time. But anyway, I've been looking at other things, and you know, when you look back in the past of like protecting players, it's always been sort of like, you know, little items like skull caps, pads. And so on.
You know what this section's like these days, Dennis? Like, to use the analogy, if you were a snooker player, you're like Doug Mountjoy, aren't you? You fuck around the table for about 20 minutes looking at a straight green into middle bag. Come on, kid. We want a bit of Ronnie O'Sullivan.
No, I've got to keep it going, you see, because obviously you pair have completely lost it this week. So, you know, at least I can keep the thing
genetic
going.
Genetic clone of... Anyway. Cliff Thorburn, Doug Mountjoy, and Terry Griffiths, aren't you? All rolled into one.
Anyway, I came across this product. It's called the Q collar. And basically, you put it around your neck, and it's sort of like protects the jugular vein from having a bit of a seizure when you get your head tilted back. They're doing it in ice hockey. And I thought, well, this is a good idea. Why don't we have something like this? And I've come up with my own version of it. It's called Waywell Scaffold Wadding.
Fucking hell.
Basically, oh, you know that...
You know, come on.
You know that foam you get?
Found the yellow van.
Hey? No, round that the scaffold poles. It's actually a sort of sew that in round the sort of like shirt round the neck sort of thing. So it gives a bit of protection. But you could take that further, couldn't you? You could put it down like your sort of front of your sort of socks, maybe a bit of, on your arms as well. Remember Fozzard with his thing on his arm with a massive...
You could. You could give him big shoulder pads and a helmet and a grill and send him to America.
What do you call that, Sam? What would that be if we did that? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the shittest tackle bags ever. Basically, you've come up with putting foam down your pants.
Well, I was thinking of Jack Hughes as well. I was going to get onto that bit, but sounds like I should skip that bit. Right, so if you think that's a great idea, which I think, Waywell Scaffold Wadding I could be taking that on Dragon's Den. I'll take Ralph Rimmer with me, probably sell... So quite a few of them. If you think it's a great idea, that's write to us at whatbevin@gmail.com. Find us on the Facebook page, Brian Bevin, or anything that Rob London's L2, L4 disc has got on offer.
Are you done?
Yeah, do you enjoy that?
We're having a staff meeting midweek. All right. Need to bring these points up. Right, okay. Well, let's move on to the Wakefield game. We've just recorded this. Castleford have just lost to St Helens, so the table hasn't changed. Saints are out on front now on 48 points. And then we've got a foot cluster of Wyre, Salford, Wigan and Hull all on 30, although Castleford still remain down there on 28. So some good results for us tonight, Sam, but we expect Wigan will beat Wakefield away, do you think, tomorrow?
Fortunately, it's away, so there's a chance that they won't. But they are playing; they are looking strong, aren't they, Wigan? Unfortunately, they're not playing particularly attractive rugby, really. But they look strong across the park. So, yeah, I think Wigan will go second on Sunday. I think it is.
It's going to get tricky now for Hull because they've got Castleford away and St Helens at home in their last two, and Castleford have got Hull at home and then Wigan away. So they're all going to sort of cancel each other out a little bit. So
yeah.
I think we will now finish in the top five. It's just where we finish, isn't it? At the bottom of the table, London are down there on 18 points. Hull KR are on 18. They've got about 20 points difference on their goal difference. Do you see London going down, Dennis? Or you think Hull KR might be pipped at the post?
I think London will go down. I think the others will. Well, it's only Hull KR really now, isn't it? I think they'll survive. Big match then, isn't it? Tomorrow, is it? Are they playing Catalan?
Who? But yeah, Hull KR are away at Catalan, and London, I think, at home against Leeds. I think they're at home against Leeds.
Hull KR have got Salford on the last day of the season. Salford might need that win to stay. Well, they're probably going to stay in the top five now anyway, aren't they?
Going back to us, though, I mean, I mentioned to you in the week, I think now the price is looking at it as, well, you know what? If we finish in the top five, we've basically got a plan that we can do like we did in the Challenge Cup final and win it from whatever position in the top five, is my thinking.
I think it could make a big difference, though, whether you're at home or away, the way the playoffs go this year, because you're going to be at home if you're second. You're going to be at home if you're fourth. Although if you're fourth, you've not got an extra chance. So it could make a difference, the points difference. And I think it's going to matter if Austin comes back next week against Wakefield. I've heard he might, but that's all I've heard, might. So that's not really worth much at this stage, is it? A might.
Mm. Okay. All right, well, let's have your predictions, Sam. What do you think? Wakefield at home next weekend.
Well, I'm going to say that a week and a day's rest is going to do us well, and we are going to win. And we're going to score more points next week than we scored in a long while. So 22-16.
Okay. Dennis?
Warrington 18. I don't think we'll score more than 20. And then Wakefield 8.
All right. Well, I'm going to go against you both because I think this Challenge Cup final has really masqueraded where we are. We've lost 6 on the bounce now. Oh. We've lost 6 on the bounce for a reason. And everyone's thinking with this brilliant team because we've turned up at Wembley and put in a good display where everything went right for us for 80 minutes. But I'm not seeing us beating Wakefield. I think Wakefield will turn up and beat us. So I think it's going to be one of those classic afternoons at the Halliwell Jones. And I'll go Warrington. I don't think we can score more than 14. I'll go Wakefield 22.
Yeah, the drugs don't work, do they?
Okay, as always, let your voice be heard on the podcast. So if you're old, email whatbevan@gmail.com. Should you have an IQ lower than the national average, you can find us at Brian Bevan on Facebook. Or if you're educated with a slight creative and left-wing tendency, tweet us at whatbevan. And there's always Instagram for you lot with the fragile egos. Not forgetting you can find me, the youngest of the three podcast hosts, on Snapchat, Vero or TikTok. So from a constitutional front bencher with a copy of the dystopian novel 1984 tucked under his arm, it's this podcast. Casters not for turning from Sam.
What's TikTok?
And also currently digging under the Houses of Parliament, hoping to ignite his news agent's box of standard fireworks whilst perched on a copy of the Communist Manifesto. It's our very own Guy Fawkes. I said Fawkes. It's order, order from Dennis.
Procedure, ticky-tock.
My name's General Rob London, and as my download dictatorship crumbles, I'm off to hide in a drainpipe before the rebels shove 28 episodes of this podcast up my arse. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Should have a continuity announcer for you, Rob.
This is the continuity announcer. I'm afraid Mr. London has had very under the influence of a lot of drugs. I do apologise.
Went to me bowels. Nurse! Nurse!